Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clown Ilya Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode. Another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. How are we doing? How are we feeling? And most importantly, how the heck was the Eras Tour film? Oh my gosh, it was a wild, jam-packed week, jam-packed weekend. I have my notes in front of me. I am hopping on today to give you guys my honest, raw thoughts, but more importantly, all of the burning questions that I have following watching the Eras Tour movie twice now in the past 48 hours. I also want to give you guys a quick rundown of how the actual movie performed in terms of opening weekend numbers, all that jazz. And if you're just tuning in or a new listener, welcome. I was one of the lucky ones, if you will, to attend the Eras Tour World Red Carpet premiere situation last Wednesday, October 11th, and I have been riding a crazy high since. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. All right, so we're talking Eras Tour movie. First impressions, I personally think, and this might be controversial, the star of the Eras Tour film is not Taylor. Those dancers carry that film. The choreography, absolutely insane. If you're a dancer or have been a cheerleader, dancer, whatever it is, you know their formations and the way that they have to be literally like half a football field away in the midst of like crazy choreography during some parts of the movie is absolutely insane. I think Look What You Made Me Do, the choreography is absolutely nuts because they're dancing in boxes, yet it's still so entertaining. So that aside, I am just blown away by the artistry, professionalism, and talent of the dancers that Taylor Swift has casted for the Eras Tour itself. And I think what a cool experience it was to attend the premiere, but also to attend the premiere alongside them, who these are just dancers, you know, this is not their everyday. And for them to see themselves on the big screen, I think was probably so surreal. And by the look of it, if you follow any of them on Instagram, this was a crazy experience for them too. So that being said, my personal two cents, high level, quick thoughts is I absolutely had the best time of my life watching those dancers dance. Now, in terms of the rest of the movie, the cinematography to me was mind-boggling. I don't know much about TV and film and cameras and all that jazz, but I was blown away by the angles. Again, I don't know a lot, but I know that it's difficult to get some of the shots that they did get, especially being that I saw them do it in real life at the shows I attended in LA. The fact that they were like running literal circles around Taylor to get like 360 shots while she's singing and moving and the unpredictable moments was so, so wild. And then they had, I think I posted a clip of it a while back, and I'll have to look back at my footage to see if I have any of these videos, but there were several drones flying around the stadium. And then they also had cameras kind of on these like suspended ropes that kind of went back and forth throughout like the whole entire Eras Tour performance. So really, really cool to see it like all come together. And I think this is just such a fun capture of that feeling of like sisterhood, nostalgia, community that comes from a concert of this magnitude. Now, let me walk you through the difference of my experience seeing the Eras Tour film on premiere night, the red carpet premiere night, versus seeing it a couple days later on opening night on Friday at 6 p.m. at the Grove. Now, I feel like there's this weird unspoken thing, especially because people have been so opinionated online in terms of like, do you sit? Do you stand? Are you going to get kicked out? Is it encouraged? Like, what's the tea? What's the scoop? And I feel like everybody was kind of walking on eggshells. Like, you could see people were so, so excited and like didn't really know what the etiquette was. Now, we know it was encouraged to like sing, dance, trade bracelets, all that jazz. But my theater in particular, I don't know what it was about 1989. The energy changed. Like, everybody was real excited for 1989. And I guess perhaps because we're so close to the re-release. And I'm also assuming a lot of new Swifties or youngins who weren't around for like OG 1989 are perhaps really jazzed about the new version coming out. So I could see the energy shift when 1989 started playing during the film. And a lot of people had those little like light up batons that they were selling at the theater. And then a few people were standing up, like they would pop up like popcorn, like for a couple seconds, they'd cheer, they'd do like a quick dance move, whatever, and then sit back down. But this kept happening like a lot during 1989, like right as soon as out of the gate, as soon as 1989 started, people were popcorning and like looking around. So I was like, you know what? I was with my friend Eliana and I was like, you know what? I'm dancing. I'm standing up and I'm dancing. So we stood up for like a song and then like a few other people started standing and like you could tell everyone was like, okay, what's the vibe? What are we doing? Are we standing now? And then Shake It Off came on, and I'm sorry. I don't care if you think this song is overplayed or you're sick of hearing Shake It Off. That song, pump it through my veins. Pump it through my veins because that's Shake It Off. Let me give you a little rundown of like my top bop songs. Okay, speaking of bop, Bop to the Top by Sharpay Evans, High School Musical. That's a jam. Shake It Off. We've got Bailando, Are You Kidding? By Justin Bieber, an absolute slay. The Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feelin'. Miley Cyrus, what's the song called? Hopped off the plane. That song, Pump It Through My Veins. And then a strange one, but a total bop, is Chicken Fried by the Zac Brown Band. Those six songs right there, like play those at my funeral, play those at any given moment in time. I could be having the worst day of my life and I will be moving and grooving. So Shake It Off comes on. I needed to stretch my legs. My knees were ready to move. And I said, I'm starting a can-can. So I stood up, ran down to the front. I literally did like full-blown knee-high kicks like while I'm going down the stairs. And I was like, I'm either going to look like a total idiot or this is going to be like the most greatest idea I've ever had. So as I get around to like the front row in between like the screen and the front row of people, I could tell I was getting daggerized from like a few people, but I literally just reached out my hand and started just like seeing if anybody would grab it to stand up and dance with me. And then the next thing we knew, this was the video I posted on my Instagram Reels. Like the next thing I knew, we had like at least 50 people down there. The rest of the theater who didn't come down to dance was on their feet. We moved and grooved for the whole 1989 set and a little bit into the next one, but then we were all like so out of breath and dripping sweat. Like I went from absolutely freezing to like drenched in my sweatshirt. So that was so, so fun. And then I feel like the rest of the movie, the vibes were high. So that was epic in itself. And I feel like you could watch the Eras Tour movie with your eyes closed and still have a good time. I feel like you get just that little taste that we all miss from the Eras Tour, like watching the film, like you get that little taste of that little bone chill you get when you hear the clock counting down, you know, all of those feelings just like come back. And it just feels, even though it didn't happen that long ago for most of us, it just that feeling, I love it. And I love that the movie captures it. And my only complaint, if I were to give some, is I wish that Applause by Lady Gaga played in the beginning. I think it would be difficult because it would have to like be before the opener, which would be like a whole addition to the film and all that jazz. But I wish that that was somehow included because that really gets me going when I hear that Lady Gaga Applause song. And then I wish maybe, I mean, I love, 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 loved. Do not get me wrong. I loved the credits. I loved the fan footage. I loved having Long Live play. But I think for my own sanity and selfishness, I do wish that Long Live was included in the film. But again, beggars can't be, what is the phrase? Beggars can't be choosers. Beggars can't be choosers. It was truly the best night of my life. And I am going two more times as of right now. I plan on going as many times as possible. Listen, if I have free time and I'm not doing anything, you bet your bottom dollar I'm headed to the movies. So I'm going again next Friday, or this Friday, actually. This Friday I'm going, it's a brand, like little brand event, if you will. So I'm going with Dove, the like body wash brand. And they're doing like a whole, they bought out the theater, they're decorating with like Dove products, and we have like a dress code and it's going to be so fun. And you bet I am totally doing Dance Party 2.0 there. And then I'm headed to Florida next week. If you haven't heard already, we're getting a new kitty and my mom has a cat rescue. And so it only is right that I fly to Florida to go pick up our newest addition. And so Rocket is his name. From Guardians of the Galaxy, we're naming him after the raccoon. If you didn't know, Matt, my boyfriend, worked on Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He's a musician. He's a composer. So he worked on that. That was his latest and biggest project to date. And we love the character Rocket. But more importantly, my current cat is named Tortellini. We call her Torties or Torts or whatever all the time. So we were trying to think of a name that would kind of go cute with like Torts, Tortie. And so we thought Rocket, we could be like Rocky and Tortie would be pretty cute. So anywho, headed to Florida next week. And where I was going with that is that while I am in Florida, my parents, have been waiting to see the Eras Tour film. They wanted to wait until after opening weekend, let it die down a little, because they're not like diehard Swifties. I mean, they know some songs, but they wanted to just kind of like sit and enjoy the film during like maybe a matinee showing during the week, which makes my parents sound super old. They're not super old. They're actually very young. But now that I am headed home to go pick up my new kitty cat, we're going to go see it together, which will be a bebop in time. And my mom loves to dance, so we will absolutely be moving and grooving in that Orlando theater. So anywho, those are my high-level thoughts in terms of the movie. I mean, do I think it's missing anything? Sure, there are songs I would have loved to hear on it. And I think what we're all hoping for is behind-the-scenes footage, and I totally understand why that was not included in this. This is literally just a regurgitation of the tour itself. It was not a documentary, if you will. Which, speaking of documentaries, let me jump into the numbers here. Now, this is from a Forbes article. You guys know the drill. If you're just joining, just listening, I have something called a broadcast channel on my Instagram account. It's in my bio. You'll see, you click it, it says Swiftie School. You click it and join, and I send messages there. It's basically like a one-sided group chat. It's just me sending you messages, but you're totally welcome to DM me and chat about anything that I send. But following each episode, if there's something important or topical that I discuss or maybe requires a visual association with it or whatever it is, I will send the link to this Forbes article to you guys. I will also include it in my newsletter if you are not on the gram super frequently or you prefer it there. So I'll send it in the upcoming newsletter. So anywho, without further ado, let's chat about this Forbes article. I have it pulled up in front of me. It is titled Taylor Swift's Eras Tour Film Rakes in Record Sales Beating Concert Movies by, the rest is not loading, by Bieber, Michael Jackson, and more. Okay, so I wrote down some of the key points that I think you should take away from this. I think we were all hoping for Taylor to shatter like $150 million opening weekend, because if she did that, I think she would have beat out like Incredibles, Avengers, all that jazz. But unfortunately, she did hover around $92.8 million for her three-day weekend debut. Why they're attributing this to being under what people anticipated is because she had such heavy and high pre-sale numbers that most people who went opening weekend already had tickets. So 92.8 million is what she landed at for that three-day weekend debut. On a high note, this was the second best ever domestic opening in the month of October. So what that means is in the US, for any movie of all time to debut or come out during the month of October, this was the second best ever, which is interesting. I feel like October typically wouldn't be as successful of a movie premiere month because most people go to the movies during November and December when they have downtime off of work or they have family in town or it's surrounding the holidays, whatever it might be. So it's interesting that this was the second best ever domestic opening weekend in October, and it is second to The Joker. And it's unfortunate that she just barely beat out The Joker. The Joker was 96.2 million in 2019, and she was 92.8. So very, 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 very just shy of beating out The Joker. But nonetheless, thought that was an interesting statistic to share with you guys. It was the seventh best opening day of 2023. I think Barbie was around 100 million. So I think she was under that. But then looking back, it's really interesting. I mean, we're in the year 2023 and looking at some of the other top performing concert films, there was really nothing since 2011. Justin Bieber had held the record for all of the past, 12 years. He was at $73 million for opening weekend. And I will say that along with the Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus concert documentary are two of my absolute favorites, probably ranked number two and three to the Eras Tour. But he was holding the record since 2011. And then after that was Michael Jackson in 2009 with 72 million. And then in 2008, we had the Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus at 65 million. So obviously, tremendous growth there from the previous records. And nonetheless, an absolutely fantastic way to kick off the Eras Tour film opening weekend. A lot of you are asking when or how long this film will be in theaters. And I don't know if that has been specifically outlined. And if anybody works for a movie theater or is familiar with kind of the cadence in terms of how long films stay in theaters, I know that it will be determined typically by the success and the sales. If tickets are still selling, I think they extend how long it's going to be in there. But I don't know if because Taylor bypassed the movie industry and just kind of went straight to AMC and did a private deal, if they have a specific like time frame that they're following. So if I see any of that information or any of you guys send that over my way, I will be sure to share that with you. And the last number I'll give you before we get into some of my silly little burning questions that I have is globally. So those numbers I had given you were domestic. Looks like globally box office numbers for the opening weekend was coming into 123.5 million opposed to the 92 million in the US. So everyone's having a good time. Everyone's dancing. Everyone's singing. I know some of you guys were bummed saying you did not have the crazy wild experience that I had, but I saw some of these international Swifties, we need to get on their level. Like, they know how to party hardy. And these videos that I've been seeing popping up look beyond fun. Let's get into some of my thoughts. Obviously, I gave you guys my feedback on the film and some things that I wish would have been included or not included. But I wanted to just spitball some random thoughts that I had in terms of logistics behind the Eras Tour. I love marketing. I also love like branding. But one thing I also love is like planning. And I am just so curious. I think going back to like pre-Eras Tour, my question is like, where did rehearsal take place? Where does it currently take place? I'm assuming Los Angeles. Taylor has noted several times that all of her dancers are located in Los Angeles, or the heavy majority, I believe. I'm wondering, like, looking at that stage on this big screen, I'm thinking, okay, this is a pretty sizable stage. And if you've ever been a dancer, you know, you would probably, they would probably mark a lot of the formations and not practice them as is until maybe a month out or 3 weeks out, 2 weeks out to the Eras Tour beginning. But like, I'm assuming there's a lot that goes into this Eras Tour rehearsal. Like, they have props, they have ladders and clouds and those lettuce things that they use in the opening. So I'm sure they have to have an audition, not an audition space, a rehearsal space large enough. I'm wondering, where on earth do they find a rehearsal space large enough? Where are they rehearsing? How long did they rehearse for? I mean, it's 3.5 hours of choreography. So like, did they learn it in chunks? Did they learn era by era? Did they learn song by song? What's happening behind stage when people aren't on stage? How many of the dancers knew each other before auditioning? Did they not know each other at all? What was the audition process? I saw one girl, it always has stuck with me, on TikTok. She's a professional dancer, and she had said she made it very far in the audition process for the Eras Tour dancer audition, and she made it to like the final cut, and unfortunately she was not able to attend the final audition to solidify her spot because it was her wedding day. And I'm like, man, I would have considered canceling or rescheduling that. She said she would like, she thought about trying to like postpone the day or make it like happen later in the day so she could go to the audition in the morning. But I'm like, oh gosh, you know, now seeing the success of the film, she will regret that for the rest of her life. Maybe not. Maybe I would, surely would, but maybe that's me because I'm crazy. Other question me and my friend had while watching the film, we have to discuss. We know her makeup does not move, and I think a few people have discovered what setting spray has been used for Taylor. I don't know if it's totally true or not. That's why I haven't posted about it, because I have no idea where this source came from. But the question that haunts my mind is the lipstick. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. It doesn't shift. It doesn't transfer. It doesn't anything. I need to know what mystical lipstick this is. Is it liquid? Is it matte? Is it a regular tube of lipstick? Is it $2.99? Is it $100? Is it custom made for her? I have no clue. But more hauntingly, her bangs are always fluffed. They are perfectly fluffed. And what me and my friend were like sidebarring about during the film, I'm imagining some poor intern, not poor as in like no money, but like poor as in this is a horrifying job to like make sure her hair looks perfect. I'm imagining like every time she goes for a quick change, there's someone there with like a round brush and a blow dryer that does like a quick fluff, because it doesn't make sense. If you've ever had bangs or like even a wispy or like a couple dangly pieces around the side of your face, like, you know that those drive you nuts and they get wet. it doesn't matter if you have like the tiniest bead of sweat on your forehead, they're sticking to your forehead. So the fact that her bangs are never not perfectly fluffed, I must know logistically what's happening there. Speaking of interns under stage behind the scenes, her dressers, like people who dress her, I'm assuming she's wearing some sort of like undergarment situation. And what haunts me while watching all of these outfit changes is I'm like, I would love to know, is it like Spanx? Is she wearing Skims under there? Is it like a girdle, like a corset situation that perfectly fits under every single garment? I have so many burning questions about like the behind the scenes that I pray that we can get some answers to these post Eras Tour documentary situation. Now, I did share in a reel with you guys, following my movie screening, I was pulled for a little interview. Me and my friend both were. This woman was like, did you guys enjoy the film? Can we get you guys for an interview? I was like, yeah, sure. So they just asked us some like pretty basic questions, you know, what was the vibe like? What was your favorite part? Have you been to the tour? All of that. And of course, I had to throw in there that it's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift, which people seem to enjoy. And they still had like portion of the red carpet kind of laid out because I went to the same movie theater that the premiere was at to see the movie again on Friday. They still had a little bit of the red carpet out and that's where they did it. And then they had like one of the backdrops that were left over from the premiere. And then before the movie even started, I also got pulled for some images. They took pictures of my sweater and my bracelets. One guy said he was from AMC and he was doing like social for AMC. So I'm not sure if they were also filming for like AMC / Taylor Nation social since they have a relationship or what that was all about. But I am definitely very curious. If you see my face anywhere online, definitely let me know. But if it's not for like immediate social use, I'm curious if they were filming for a documentary. So anywho, I am just living life largely. And I really hope you guys are enjoying following along. I am just having the time of my life, truly. Little did I know earlier this year, I mean, full transparency and a little off script here, like not that any of this was scripted, but I really struggle. I struggle with friends. I struggle with relationships outside of like my romantic relationship. I feel like I have struggled my whole life to have a like friend group or like a go-to person or a best friend or anything like that. And I think partially I contribute that to moving around my whole life, but I feel like, I don't know, I've never felt fully understood. I've never felt like I find friends that go beyond kind of like the average surface level conversations. You know, I've gone to dinner with some people 25, 30 times out here in LA. And it's like over the course of like the 6, 7 years I've lived here. And it's like we've never gotten deep. And I really, really struggle with that aspect of my life. And so to be totally candid, I never in a million years thought just making that spontaneous decision earlier this year to attend the Eras Tour by myself on March 17th would be the catalyst for that feeling of community that I have longed for my whole life, whether it's what exactly I had envisioned it to be, like a true in-person friend group. This has honestly been better. So I just want to put it out there. If you relate to that feeling at all, whether you're 11 years old and listening to this or 48, I hope you know that my whole goal with everything Taylor Swift is that aside from all the fun that we have, I hope that you feel a sense of community, a sense of purpose, and a sense of belonging because I look at you guys as my friends. And while I may not know each of you individually or any of that, I hope you feel that this just helps me feel so much more connected to the world and to females and sisterhood and community and purpose and all of that. And so I know I put that in my letter to Taylor if you saw that video of me reading that out loud, but I genuinely feel all of that towards all of you. So I will leave it with that. I am so beyond grateful for all of you being here. I looked through some of the contributions for, I keep forgetting what I'm calling them, Swiftie submissions. And I think we're all kind of in like a lull in terms of what's happening next. A lot of you guys were asking about my thoughts on like the November 10th theory. I'm going to ride that train. I'm down. I'm down to clown. I don't know. I'm not totally sure, but who knows? We've been getting fed quite a bit. We've been eating quite well the past few months. So I'm just going to lay low in terms of my clowning until we get 1989 TV, and then I will sniff out the vibes and report back. Until then, let me know if you have any episode requests. We are just basically like a little over a week out from 1989 TV, so I cannot wait until we are out of the woods. I appreciate you as always. Know that you have a friend in me, and I will see you on the next one. Bye!
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time!